We're in 1 Peter. We've been going verse by verse through 1 Peter. And you learn a lot going verse by verse. And what I like about it is you never know where it's going to take you when you get verse by verse. On the surface, a lot of teaching that you hear it doesn't get real deep into the doctrines that we believe. And that's what a problem with a lot of the Baptist churches nowadays is, that they are not teaching our foundational doctrines. They're getting away from that, and they're going more towards the lovey-dovey, cheerleading type of preaching and teaching, which is really hurting us. It's hurting our children, which is the future of our churches. And nowadays, what you have is the kids are being separated from the adults, which is fine, but they're teaching them a whole new way of worship because they're catering to what they think kids like. And if you want to have a problem in your church in the future, go ahead and do something like that. Give them the contemporary music. Don't get them rooted and grounded in sound doctrine. And what you'll find out is when they come of age, you're going to have a generation that doesn't want what you have. And that's the problem we're seeing in these churches today. And guys like Rick Warren, Joel Alstein, and Willow Creek over here in Illinois, that's what they are teaching, and that's how they are taking over churches. They're getting these satellite churches where they are deciding what gets taught and preached, and they're creating basically church splits. They're investing in splitting churches, and that's the problem we run into. But here at this church, what I love about this church is we teach the book, and when we come across a doctrine, we teach it. We don't skip over it because we think it might be offensive or you may not believe that way. The book says what it says, and it means what it means. Amen? All right, so that's what we're going to do. Now, the songs we sang are really nice, okay? Jesus Christ is a haven of rest. Amen? And we get wonderful peace from knowing that we're saved. Amen? If you do not have wonderful peace and you do not look at Jesus as a haven of rest, then it's not Jesus' fault, it's not the Bible's fault, it's your fault. You need to get in this book and you need to read about Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that is the main doctrine of this Bible, is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We like to make it about us, but it's not about us, it's about Jesus. And you'll know that when you get saved, when you are born again, Jesus becomes a haven of rest, and there is wonderful peace. But that only comes through this book, all right? It doesn't come through some wonderful experience you had or some great song that you like to play that makes you feel good. It comes from getting in this book and knowing your Savior, amen? The Word of God, okay? The Word of God. So we're in 1 Peter, and we left off in verse 3, and we're in verse 4 and verse 5. And the songs are appropriate to what we're going to be talking about today, all right? In these two passages, you're going to see that there is a lot in these two passages. Yes, it's only two verses, but you're going to see there is a fountain of information here that we need to know. These two passages are going to cover sanctification, they're going to cover victory over sin, and they're going to cover eternal security. Just these two passages, all right? Three major doctrines of the Baptists, all right? Three biblical doctrines that we need to know about, all right? So let's pick it up in verse 4 of 1 Peter. Let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, thank you so much for this day in your book. Pray now, Lord, that you would help us just to believe the words as they're written, not to have any preconceived ideas. Lord, help us to put away our pride, our prejudice, our bigotry, and help us just believe the truth that's right here in this book, Lord. Help us to open our minds and open our hearts to receive your words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so verse 4, it says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Okay? So, there's a lot here in this passage. All right? Now, first of all, these two passages deal with eternal security. We're going to talk about eternal security first, okay? And if you don't get anything out of this Bible, please get this. You have eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Once you get born again, it is impossible for you to get unborn again. Okay? You have a lot of people out there that teach you can lose your salvation. And you're going to see today that if you just do the numbers, you're going to have way more passages that cover eternal security, that prove eternal security, than prove that you can lose your salvation. You will see that all the passages that these cults will choose about losing your salvation will be out of passages from the tribulation time period or the Old Testament time period. And we know in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we have to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? We have to rightly divide the word of truth. And that the very first teaching, the way we are to look at the Bible, is that doctrine is the most important. Okay? If you can't get the doctrine down, everything else is going to be messed up. You can't reprove, you can't teach, you can't have instruction, and all of those things if you don't have the right doctrine. Okay? So eternal security, please understand that you have eternal security. And I'm going to come back to that eternal security after this, and we're going to continue on. Okay? So he says here, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Okay? So this is teaching that there is an inheritance that is in heaven right now for born-again believers. There is an inheritance. Okay? This inheritance is undefiled, and it fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. This is a wonderful truth that we have. When you get born again, God sets aside an inheritance for you. All right? It can't be, it cannot fade away, and it's undefiled. Like the Lord said in Matthew, he said, lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven, amen, where moth and rust can't get to it, amen, where that is there for you, and nothing can change that. It's going to be there. Okay? So this inheritance, how do you get this inheritance? Look in verse 2. In verse 2, this is how you get the inheritance. It's to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through what? Sanctification of the Spirit. So if you want this inheritance, you have to be sanctified by the Spirit of God. Amen? Okay? That's being born again. At the moment you are born again, you are put into Christ and you are sanctified. You are set apart from everything else on this planet, from all of the creation, all right? From all of the creation, you are sanctified, you are set apart in Jesus Christ, because at the moment you get born again, you get put into the literal body of Christ, all right? And once you get sanctified, you are promised an inheritance. You are promised an inheritance. Okay, look at Acts 20, verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. An inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. Amen? Okay, so there's an inheritance. Look at Acts 26, 18. 26, 18. This is Paul in front of Agrippa. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want to keep track of where I'm at here. Sorry about that. Okay, so there's an inheritance among them that are sanctified. How do you get sanctified? You get born again. Look at Hebrews, Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 10. Or let me start in verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay? So there's an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And this is going to reveal, you're going to see here, that sanctification, okay, there is a sanctification that takes place with the new birth. Okay? So we get that inheritance. All right? So the moment you get saved, your spirit is sanctified, and you're put in Christ, and you are promised an inheritance. Now, this inheritance is not to be confused with the reward of the inheritance. All right? There is a sanctification process in our flesh that takes place after you get saved. And Paul talks about this. He calls this the reward of the inheritance. Okay? Don't confuse this with your salvation. There is an inheritance for you that we get promised the moment you get born again. But there is also a reward with an inheritance, just like with your parents. Okay? You have their name. You will always be, like me, I'm a Lawson. I will always be a Lawson. Okay? There is an inheritance for me. All right? But there is also a reward of an inheritance for me that I have to earn from my parents. If I don't stay in their good graces, they will take part of that inheritance away, or all of the inheritance they had to give for me. It's kind of like when you get saved, there's an inheritance set up for you, amen. And as you go through life, that some of that inheritance can be taken away. You'll suffer loss. Paul talks about it at the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians. Okay? That's kind of like how it is. All right? So there is a reward of the inheritance. All right. The reward of the inheritance must be earned through a daily service to God or a daily sanctification. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. You have to earn this inheritance. Colossians 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Okay, so this reward of the inheritance is not the whole inheritance. Okay, part of that inheritance is promised to us. We will get it, okay? This process of daily sanctification, how does this come by? Okay, a lot of people, there's a trend nowadays with Baptists that you get sanctified by doing good works. And that the more good works you do, the more sanctified you become. And one day you'll attain this great sanctification status, and you'll be a great Christian, and you'll wear a tie and everything, and your hair will be nice and short, and you won't watch TV, and you won't go to the movies, and all this other garbage they got going on out there, okay? That's only a half-truth. Okay? That is only a half-truth. The sanctification process is not from you doing things. Okay? It's by faith. And it's not by your faith. It's by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? It's Jesus Christ's faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that, what? Not of yourselves. It, the faith, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So that gift of faith is how we become sanctified. Okay? Look in Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and verse 20, talking about sanctification here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And this the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is about sanctification by faith. Amen. The way you get sanctified, okay, is you allow Jesus Christ to work through you. You have faith in Jesus Christ, okay? And it's Jesus Christ's faith that sanctifies you. Look at the formula for sanctification is found in Romans 6, all right? Now, we call this victory over sin, all right? But it's talking about sanctification. This is how you get sanctified. The way you get sanctified is you get victory over sin, Okay? Because we have a problem nowadays. We have a problem. We have wounded spirits right here in this room. We have people that are trying to deal with their sin on their own. On your own. All right? And you're going to see here that that's not how you deal with sin. You do not deal with sin by separating yourself from everything. All right? That's just going to get you in more trouble. All you're doing is covering up your heart. When you separate from things, all you're doing is covering your heart. A good Christian man that's sanctified in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, by faith, okay, can go anywhere. He can go anywhere. He can eat whatever he wants. He can touch whatever he wants to touch. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to work through you. That's one thing that the Pharisees hated about our Savior, is that he could walk right in with those publicans and Pharisees. And he could sit at their parties and still be a holy man. Was he drinking? No. Was he smoking? No. Was he partying? No. But he was a focal point of holiness. Okay? And that's the way we ought to be. When you go into town, people ought to know. You know a good spiritual man when he walks in the room, or a woman. You can feel that presence coming off of people. Amen? You can feel that grace coming off of them. And it's not something, these people that you get this from, that you can feel this from, these forgiving people, these loving people, these spiritual people, you can tell when the Holy Spirit's working through them. It's not something they get up in the morning and go, I'm going to be a holy man today. That's just their personality. You know, we talked about it in 2 Peter, the divine partaking of the divine nature, okay? Having a forgiving heart, gentleness, meekness, all those things, right? Brotherly kindness, okay? Faith, virtue. See, we like to say you want to be a virtuous person, but virtue is not something that you do. Virtue is something that the Holy Spirit does through you. When Jesus was walking through the crowd, what happened? A woman touched his garment, and he perceived that virtue went out from him. It was something that came out of him through the Spirit. Okay, it wasn't something that he just turned around and was a virtuous guy. Okay, it was in his heart. It got there because he yielded to the Father like we're supposed to. That's where you get all those traits, okay? And that's where you get sanctified. That's exactly how you get sanctified, okay? Look in Romans 6, and we'll start in verse 11. Paul says here, he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so you count yourself dead to sin. Okay, if you're dead with Christ, you'll also rise with Christ. Amen. So you're dead to sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should not, or that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. And that's where most Baptists are going to stop. That's where they're going to stop. Here's the kicker. All right, here's the complete formula. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, so the formula is this. You resist temptation by reckoning yourself dead indeed unto sin. Amen? But you don't stop there. You don't stop there. You do good works as well. You go out street preaching. You go door knocking. You witness to people on the job. You minister to your brethren. Okay? You help your neighbors. This is one of the greatest things that Stacy and I have learned since we've been called into the ministry. And that is just be a blessing to people. I understand you want to be separated and you want to take the high road and stuff like that, but do you realize how many people you do not get a chance to witness to because of that? Because you want to separate from these people? Okay? I'm not saying you got to hang out with them and get dirty with them, but you know, like we have a boy that lives down the road that we used to live, we just recently moved, so we don't babysit him anymore. But he lived down the road from us. And his mom was a drug addict, and his dad was a drug addict, and they're tattooed from head to toe, and they're as worldly as anybody in the world. But we decided at the beginning that we were just going to be a blessing to them. They needed a babysitter. And he needed a place where he could go where there was peace, amen? You know, he needed a place where there wasn't heroin, where there wasn't drugs and rock and roll. He needed a nice place where there was a good family, good music, church, you know, and the kid got better for it. You know, and he loves us and we love him and we got to witness to his parents, you know. But if we would have said, oh no, we're not even going to mess with that kid, like the unsaved neighbors did, they just completely, our unsaved neighbors wouldn't even acknowledge these people as human beings, you know. And they never once got a good conversation with these guys. But when you see these people, you're going to see they're just wounded spirits like you and I were before we got saved. You know what I mean? I mean, if I didn't have somebody nice enough to invite me to church or to tell me the gospel, Lord knows when I would have got saved. You know what I mean? Just somebody that believed in loving me regardless of what my life was like outside of church. Okay? And that's the way we need to be. Okay? Now, this victory over sin that you're going to get through sanctification is a lot like that. Okay? It's a lot like that. You have to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, and then you have to resist that temptation and go on and do what you're supposed to do for Jesus Christ, because that's what happens to us. We get down in the mire, and we get to feeling sorry about ourselves. We take our eyes off of Jesus Christ, and we put it on ourselves, okay? And that stops us from doing any good works. I know, it stops me from reading my Bible all the time. I'll sin and I'm like, oh, I can't study now. You know what I mean? Or your heart's not right, you got bad thoughts while you're trying to study. You know, but you got to push through that. You got to believe what Jesus Christ said. You have to believe what this book says and do it. And you will, I'm telling you, you will get victory over sin. The Apostle Paul said, I have all my flesh under subjection. Okay? He's our example, amen? So that's what the victory over sin is, okay? So we talked about eternal security, we talked about victory over sin, and we talked about sanctification. Now, I want to come back to eternal security. A little eternal security blitz here for you, okay? So if you want to write these down, you can. If not, I can make a copy of this for you, okay? But I've got quite a few verses here, and I'm just going to zip through them real fast, and we'll be done here, okay? Passages that prove eternal security. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That word shall, I used to be an air traffic controller. I could tell a pilot anything I wanted to tell him, and he was not required to do what I say. But if I preceded that statement with shall, if he didn't do it, he had to answer to somebody. That word shall means it's a definite. It will happen. You know, I used to tell an aircraft, you shall turn left heading 090. If he didn't turn left heading 090, he was going to have to answer for it. Okay, when you precede it with shall. And the Lord will use that word shall, especially talking about eternal security. Amen. Look at John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There is nothing that can remove you out of Christ. Nothing. Once you're there, you are there. Okay. John 6:44-47. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 5:20. I already said that one. John 5:24. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All right. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give them, give him, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now that doesn't say if you don't walk after the flesh. That is saying there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh. If you're in Christ, you don't walk after the flesh. If you read that whole chapter, you'll find that out. You walk after the Spirit. That's what you do. All right? You can't walk after the flesh. Your flesh is dead. Okay? You are saved. Amen? Okay? Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into you, and you were sealed, the Bible says, unto the day of redemption. And this is the earnest, okay? That's the earnest, that's the earnest money that the Lord will be there on the day of closing. Amen? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 8:38. For I am persuaded, this is a good one, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. No ifs, ands, or buts. If you believe, you will bear his image. Amen? It's eternal security. In Ephesians 1:13, I already read that one. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 10:10, I read that already today. Of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, see, this is your own heart. Your own heart is going to condemn you. All right? Why? Because it's deceitfully wicked above all things. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. 2 Timothy 2:13, a great truth here for those of you that have kids in college. All right? A big problem is kids go to college and they get educated out of their salvation. Amen? Here's a great truth. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So you can get born again and go out and become a professing atheist, and that's not going to stop God from bringing you into heaven. Amen? That's a comforting passage. 1 Corinthians 1:8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not cover our sins, cleanse our sins. Amen? All right, so we'll go ahead and stop there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and your words. Pray now, Lord, that you'd bless our fellowship today. You'd open our hearts and that we would love each other, Lord, and we could just be a blessing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.